I made it.
Just we're waiting to start now. Okay, I think we're on. Good morning and welcome to the Reopen Westport Advisory Team meeting of May 28th, 2020. Please join me in a Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, for members of the public that are joining us, I'm Jennifer Tooker, Second Selectwoman and Chair of the Reopen Westport Advisory Team. Today, I believe, is our fourth meeting, and I think we have a full team here. Everybody's here today. We have a couple of agenda items, and we'll move quickly through as we usually do. But also, just again, for any members of the public who are watching or listening, please do remember to email us at reopenteam@westportct.gov if you have any questions or concerns ongoing. We are regularly answering emails at that group email, but we don't take public comment during our meetings. All right, with that, our first agenda item is to hear an update from the business segments that reopened on 5/20 in phase one. So this is quite an exciting meeting. Our first three meetings were talking about helping businesses reopen. And today we'll get to hear some brief recaps from liaisons that have been working with business segments that did open or were allowed to open. Business owners, it was of course their own choice as to whether or not they did actually open on the 20th. Or since the 20th. And just for the public to remind you, relative to Westport, we had non-essential retail allowed to reopen on the 20th, restaurants with outdoor dining only, and office buildings. And again, just to paint the picture and to be clear, we have been reiterating the governor's message that as a community, we're still asking people to wear masks and we're still asking people to be cognizant of social distancing. And if you're unwell, to please stay at home. And our businesses have done all sorts of wonderful things as far as putting in hygiene safeguards and also social distancing measurements and certainly have gone through self-certification processes. And even with some of them, with our local restaurants, which we'll hear a little bit about, some local permitting processes. But so we're doing this in a very deliberate, gradual way where we're really respecting the health and wellness and safety of our community, but also hoping to inspire confidence across the community, both with our business owners and our residents, that it's safe to come out and start to interact with our businesses again. So with that, we will have three updates, brief updates from, like I said, the three business segments that were allowed to reopen under phase one. And maybe we'll start with the offices. Brian, you want to take us through any update there?
Yeah, sure. I've been continuing my process of individual one-on-one telephone calls. They seem to work. As I said at the beginning 3 weeks ago, that every office is different. They have different mail requirements, different visitor requirements. Some are tenants, some are subtenants. So it's very difficult to make generalizations about it. So I'm working on the individual person-to-person discussions. What is interesting is that some of the – I can now – I should be accurate. On three occasions, I've been able to link people up with each other who are doing things in the office, particularly legal firms. So that, I think, those sorts of learnings are very good. Like, what do you do in the mailroom of a law firm, for example, as one thing that they can share. I can't guide, but they can share best practices. This morning at 9 o'clock, we had an hour-long work session with the largest employer in Westport, Bridgewater, and which was, I think, for those people on the call, very informative, very insightful, and hopefully help us all in as we move forward. They started this process because they have offices in China in middle of January, and actually had had countermeasures in place early in February, and have built their databases, built their analysis and their techniques from that period of time. From that work session, I just thought, for me personally, it was how much thinking and knowledge has advanced in the last 6 weeks, and how much emphasis we put on different statistics as time goes forward. So I think that was very informative for folks who were on the call, and we have contacts with them subsequent to this meeting that we can work on. We are at a stage in the office where it's 50% occupancy is sort of the guideline. I haven't met one office where they got to 50% yet. Most people are working remotely, which is incredible. When you think of the technology advancement in the last 90 days, Zoom is a very different company, and all the others are all very different companies, and their customers are very different, and their work processes are very different because of those technological enablers. And that actually has been, I think, one of the greatest ways to ease the pressure of this terrible virus on offices, because we can do a lot of things that we never thought we could do remotely. That's about it. I'm just continuing the same process, Jennifer, and I'll report back and hopefully have another seminar. I'm thinking doing it with the legal community sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you. And we will talk a little bit later about just some of the unbelievable best practice sharing that is going on among our local business owners right now. And Brian's example of this morning's seminar is a great one. So some real silver linings that are coming from this crisis from a standpoint of how, you know, we really are coming together as a community to figure out how to help each other reopen safely under these conditions. So thank you, Brian. Matthew, do you want to give us an update and maybe have Mary or Mark also help you on the restaurants and the outdoor dining and what residents can expect to be happening over the next couple of days and what has happened in the last week with a lot of work from a number of people on this call?
Well, first of all, I think our hats off need to go to Mary Young and Nate Gibbons for the work that they've been doing. They worked through the weekend and they continue to do so far beyond the call of duty. Thank you guys for doing this. I think the most important thing that should come out of this is that Westport is doing this slow and steady and correctly and not willy-nilly. We're making sure that all of the restaurants that are out there are following the rules that are laid down by the state. And that will engender confidence in the safety of the owners, of the staff, and of the patrons. And I think that's the most important thing that Westport should be proud of, is that we're doing this properly. So we have currently 30 applications for outdoor dining, which was designed by the state. And at this time, we have 18 approvals. And most of them have come through within 24 to 48 hours of the application being filed, which shows that the town is moving quickly, even with making sure that all of these pieces are being taken care of. We believe that three more will be approved by the end of today, which would make 21 out of the 30. And some of the other ones are secondary applications, such as we first want to do one thing right on the sidewalk or right outside in our property, and the next step is to use parking spaces. So some of those applications aren't actually restaurants that haven't gotten approvals. They're the secondary aspect to what they want to do. Some of the secondary aspects that we're also looking at are closing streets entirely, but those are more involved. And so let's take Railroad Place, where there are three applications. One and a half have been approved. One is fully approved. The other one's conditional, and the other one's coming along. And they're taking the parking spaces along the north side of the street. And working with the police, they allowed them to do a demonstration before they got it, because Nate wanted to actually physically see it being in place so he'd know what it would look like and how it would be and how safe it would be and if it's meeting all of the criteria. And I think that was an important piece to allowing this to occur. So all three of those restaurants will be set up using three parking spaces each, and that allows for them to move out forward. The next step possibly could be closing Railroad Place, but that is an arduous mission, and we will look to see how that will move forward. The other street was Church Lane, and there you again have two applications. Spotted Horse has already been approved to use their outdoor area, and also was Urban Outfitters has given them their little outdoor area to use, but they're also looking at maybe using a parking lot and also possibly spaces in front on the road. So again, using parking spaces. So overall, things are moving forward. People are going out. It's not as a breakneck as people might fear or have hoped. People are just going out and dipping their toes in the water and going out. I think one thing that we should not forget is that the bread and butter of most of these restaurants still isn't takeout, because you can only serve 50% of what was the interior. And to keep these restaurants moving forward is continue to use takeout. And some of the restaurants are still relying entirely on takeout. So we both have two different worlds now as we continue to reopen, which is the outdoor dining and also the takeout. So that's basically the story from the restaurants. I will say that, again, Westport should be very proud. We're hearing some stories in other communities where waiters are not wearing masks and people and tables are too close together. And I think that that's, you know, Westport's doing it right. And I think we should be very proud of it. And people should be confident and comfortable that our town is a safe place to go out and eat according to the state rules. And that's the update.
Great. Thank you, Matthew. And yeah, I will also share a huge thank you to Nate and to Mary and to Fody and to Mark and to Matthew for, you know, really making sure our restaurants are have opened and opened safely and will continue to do so. And excited to see some people out on new, brand new patios and brand new outdoor eating arrangements and enjoying themselves. So it's fantastic. Randy, would you like to update us on what's going on with our retailers?
Sure thing, Jen. So similar to Matthew, we've had continual communication via email. We've held four Zoom calls with our sector. We have I have personally had interactions with over 120 different retailers, and went in over the last weekend into about 40 of them after the reopening. And we did our last call yesterday with a group of them that we had experienced the reopening. And what I would tell you overall is we have, as we've sort of said, approximately 50% of our retailers are open right now, skewed heavily to the independents. Not all independents are open, but most are open, or like 50% total of all the stores are open. Our chain stores are opening up slowly. Anthropologie, Urban Outfitters are open. Terrain is open. Others are in the plans, and probably in the next week or so, you're going to see more open. Some are opened right now for curbside delivery. What is becoming a new normal for everybody, which is not a bad thing, is that they're doing more online shopping. They're doing more appointment shopping. And what they're also finding in general is that as people are coming into the stores, that they are shoppers, really buyers versus shoppers, that people are coming in with a purpose. And that's a good thing. Traffic is certainly down from a seasonal comparison, but there are shoppers out there, and it does appear that people are, for the most part, following the rules. And the biggest challenge, of course, are there are two challenges, I would say, from a consumer standpoint. One are consumers who have chosen not to follow the rules, and that is something that stores are learning how to deal with. And the second one, which is a bigger one we all need to address, is consumers concerned about social shaming. And that's where there are a lot of groups, social groups online that are telling people that they shouldn't be going out. And you know, the communication we've been saying is if people are following the rules, they can make their own choices, but the rules are to be followed. And that's what we're working through. So right now, I would say there's an air of some hopefulness at this stage as people are figuring out a new way to do business. Business isn't at the old levels, and there's still hardships. One of the biggest hardships that we're working through is a sufficient PPE supplies. That is definitely moving in the right direction. And there's lots of resources out there, and there's also a lot of sharing in the community in terms of, you know, resource sharing and that sort of thing. And that's another really big positive out of this. I think the retail community as a whole is finding more reasons to share, help each other, share best practices, and I think that's become a good thing.
Great. Thanks, Randy. Well, you know, I would like to, I guess, add a little bit to that communication chain from a standpoint of, you know, we're all, this whole team, and I think many, many, many people in the community, our business owners included, are working very hard to ensure that, you know, we open gradually, safely, but that should instill confidence. And so I guess I'm disappointed that there might be some shaming, because I'm incredibly hopeful. I think we have some of, and I say it over and over and over again, and I was just on a call with the Joyride owners yesterday. I mean, I am just amazed at how creative and adaptive and community-oriented our local business owners are, and we have more segments to continue to open up, and I think we will continue to find that with those business owners as well. And so we are all taking this very seriously. The health and safety and wellness of our community is absolutely at the priority and the forefront. But we, you know, we also want people to feel comfortable when they are ready, to be confident and feel comfortable that they can come out and interact with our business owners in a safe way. And so I am very hopeful. And again, thank you to the three of you who have, plus many others on this phone call, who have helped make this first week of phase one reopening go smoothly and relatively speaking in Westport. And thank you to all of our business owners who have done the same. And with that, I want to turn actually to our second agenda item, which is a little bit of an update of the work that some business segment liaisons are doing for phase two, and also actually the 1st of June, which I don't know where that fits in. It's sort of in between phase one and phase two. But just again, for the public, the governor put out a pretty comprehensive report, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, detailing what was going to open either on, thank you, Jim, a very comprehensive report, like 45 pages, and his reopen team, of what is going to open on the 1st of June and then planned for phase two, which is the 20th of June. On the 1st of June, we have hair salons and barbershops opening. So I'll ask Mark Cooper, who's our liaison there, to do a little bit of an update on that. Oh, Brian, yeah.
I read the report from, I didn't intend to read the report from cover to cover, but I did, because it's a very compelling document. And those folks on that are watching on TV, I guess if they could just email Donna and Donna could send her the link to that document, it's well worth reading. And it's very specific to certain businesses. It's 45 pages is daunting, but when you look at the sections relative to one's own environment, it's actually not bad at all.
Great point, Brian. And actually what I would encourage people to do if they're listening and would like the report is we'll have it up on our website, our town website, prior to the end of today. And we'll talk about where we're storing all of the work that this committee, that this team is doing. It's all on the town website. And so you're right. We'll make sure people can find it there and under our COVID-19 information and under the reopen team information in the COVID-19 section of our website. So anyway, and then on the 20th, we have fitness facilities, gyms, sports clubs opening. So we'll have Jen Fabe give a little bit of an update on that in a minute. Potentially day camps, which we're still waiting for a little bit of information on that. And Jen can update on that. And then a few other things that we'll go through on this agenda item. But First, I'd like Mark Cooper to update us on hair salons and barbershops opening on June 1st and any feedback on that business community right now.
Good morning, everyone. First, let me also commend and thank Nate and Mary for their work in getting all the restaurants done. They have done an excellent job, and we're now starting the process of doing compliance checks on those restaurants, so we'll continue doing that forward. We've been working with the hair salons and the barbershops, and many of them thought they were ready to open the previous week when the governor quickly changed. We're hearing that some don't feel like they want to open, which is fine. That is their choice. Most of the we've been having a lot of emails and telephone conversations with the salon owners, and we're finding most of them feel they're ready, and what they're missing, if you will, is they're not quite understanding the need to get that Department of Economic Development, Community Development self-certification, if you will, from the state. So it's those minor sort of things that we're helping them get to be able to have a complete package, if you will, that we can say, okay, you're ready to open. Most of them know what they're supposed to be doing about the cleanliness and the separation, all that. Similar to the restaurants, we have a compliance checklist. Once they open next week, we'll be going through to watch their processes again of how they are, in fact, sanitizing between clients and that sort of thing. Don't anticipate a lot of issues or problems. They, in our discussions with them, seem to know what they're supposed to do. It's, of course, making sure they are doing that. So we're busy this week. I have staff, again, talking to them and answering questions. We are putting together a list of the questions we're getting, and hopefully by the end of today, if not tomorrow, we hope to have that complete, and I'll share it with you, Jen. And you can put on the website whatever you want to do with it. And we're also sending, at the end of every day, we've been sending the salon and barbershop owners updates and information to try to get them on board. So it seems to be going smoothly. Devil's always in the details. We'll see how it unfolds on Monday morning when they throw open the doors, and hopefully clients aren't waiting in line outside, but rather follow the process of making an appointment and being patient, because obviously not all of us can get in the door at the same time. So hopefully it'll go as smoothly as the restaurants have.
That's great, Mark. Thank you. And I know that your team has been doing an incredible amount of work with this business segment. Like you said, trying to get them up to speed on the rules that are coming out of the state and how they can actually implement them and execute them on a daily basis in their own business. And so thank you for all the work you're doing. And I'm going to mention this multiple times during our meeting, but like I said, on our town website, westportct.gov, under COVID-19, as you go to our town website, it's the very first thing you can see. That's our section where we're getting all of our COVID-19 information. There is a reopen Westport section where we're storing all of our FAQs for each business segment. The office and the retail and the restaurant segments have gotten quite a bit of traffic from the public. I think the public is interested in knowing what they're going to walk into when they actually walk into a newly opened business. And as Mark said, he and his team are undertaking a Herculean effort to put together that exact same document for hair salons and barbershops in anticipation of Monday. So, and then all the updated state information is also there. So that's where and recordings of all of our meetings are on that page as well. So we're really trying to drive the public to that landing page. Okay, with that, Jen Faba, looking out to 6:20, which feels like another life. But would you update us on what you're doing to kind of jump ahead and get a couple business segments prepared?
Sure. So we're getting started. I'll start with camps. That's, as you mentioned, there is a little bit more coming with that. We were told on a call yesterday there is going to be some additional information coming and guidelines coming out on camp. I think we were all thinking that it was all done, so we had knew what we were planning with. So that is supposed to be out Friday, which I think is tomorrow now. I'm all thrown off with the long weekend, not that it makes any difference on a regular day these days. So there will be some additional information, so it's important that those camp programs to look at that so that they make sure they're following the any additional guidelines that have been put out by the state. In addition, one of the main things that we did learn on a call, at least for me yesterday, was the guidelines for reopening of phase two businesses will be out on June 6th. So that's really what's going to determine for all these businesses and for what we're talking about in my realm, you know, the fitness centers and all those things. That's going to be key, and that's what's really going to kind of guide us and show us how to best open up these different businesses. We do have some calls lined up early next week to discuss with some of the other larger facilities to try to get some best practices that we will then hopefully be able to share amongst the you know the whole fitness industry you know in within Westport. So we'll try to gather all that. We're working right now on gathering that information so we can get it out to people or be able to answer the questions and start taking you know, sort of some of those frequently asked questions so that we know where to direct people.
Great. Thank you. And you have also been in constant contact with anybody trying to run a day camp in Westport as well. You've already had group calls with those organizations that are planning on running camps.
Yeah, I've been having individual calls and some emails with some of the main camp businesses within the town. So trying to help give direction.
Thank you. So trying to, you know, whatever we can do to avoid the redoing the sprint that led up to the 20th phase one opening. If there's anything this team has learned, it's, you know, again, we're sort of guided by the rules that are released by the state, but anything we can do to make things run a little bit more proactively and forward thinking for the next for the next phase two June 20th date, we're actively working on that now. I'm going to just mention just a couple things that I'm working on with two different segments. First, actually, I'm going to mention one, and then I'm going to ask Jim Marpey to talk to the other. First, tomorrow, I'll be hosting, co-hosting, or I'll be attending a Zoom call with our arts organizations in town. The governor has, and the state have not really comprehensively looked at the arts and cultural institutions and really given a lot of guidance. So a number of us will be on a call tomorrow to talk about ideas that are popping up in our fantastic and wonderful arts community here in Westport, and figure out, you know, which of those ideas are something we can pursue and something we can do under the current, you know, rules and guidelines of reopening, since we aren't going to have quite the same prescriptive playbook that some other business segments are having. So tomorrow is call number one with that group, and I will serve as the liaison with that group, and I'm really pleased to be able to hear a lot of their ideas, and I'm sure there will be many things coming out of that as we move along. And then, Jim, do you just want to speak very briefly to our houses of worship and what we're doing there?
Yeah, thank you, Jen. First of all, I'll echo what has been said before. I can't thank Mary Young, Nate Gibbons, Fody Koskinas, and Mark Cooper enough for their hard work over the weekend to make sure that as many restaurants could get open for outdoor dining. There was a huge amount of pressure, to the point that was made just a couple minutes ago. The guidance from the state came a little late in the process, so we were all scrambling. Admittedly, other communities seem to have open outdoor dining, I've got to believe, with a lot less care and concern. And actually, I was reading a story this morning where one of the restaurants in Norwalk was proud that there's a steakhouse, Washington Steakhouse or whatever it is, and they were pleased that they were having customers from out of state come, which I'm not sure that was the right objective, but anyway, we're doing it the right way, and thank you to all the people who made that possible. I would also add that Yesterday, Jen Faber was polite in her commentary on the governor's call yesterday as we sought a little more detail behind some of the guidance. The fact that we will, 2 weeks before June 20, we'll get more information is disconcerting because it'll put us in that same difficult position again of not knowing how much we will have to react locally. But it is what it is, and so we'll be prepared to react accordingly. As relates to houses of worship, I had a great conversation with Rabbi Wiederhorn of the Conservative Synagogue. He heads up the local interfaith, it's called the Interfaith Council Group, the worship leaders from Westport and Weston. So I reached out to him, indicating that we were interested in working with the houses of worship as well, given the numbers of people who worship in their one way or another here in Westport. As it turns out, Rabbi Wiederhorn is sitting on the governor's committee to reopen houses of worship. So a terrific resource to the community, and he's shared with me some preliminary thoughts that committee is putting together. I think the governor will make these public in the next several days. And this got a little more challenging, as many of you may have noted, early in the week, the president decided that we should all be able to go worship and kind of without any indication of guidelines or limits or what have you. So a little bit of scrambling going on to try and react to that as well. So what we thought might be appropriately paced reopening took on a little more urgency. Again, on the conference call with the governor yesterday, we heard from some of my, or at least one of my counterparts from another part of the state, that there was great pressure on I can't remember if it was him or her, but to get churches opened in full and as if the things were back to whatever normal will be. So an important thing to be dealing with, I think. My sense of the houses of worship locally is that there's an appropriate and measured approach to getting back, and I believe all of them have found creative technological ways of staying in touch with their parishioners, their members, and have been very successful at that. And so next week I'll be participating on a Zoom call with that group of worship leaders to talk about how can we help them and what advice and guidance can we give them. So I'm pleased to say that I think from a houses of worship standpoint, Westport is well positioned to reopen that sector in an orderly, thoughtful, safe way. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And John, would you mind giving us any update you can? Because I know that it's a bit of a moving feast from a standpoint of timing on guidance coming out of the governor's office when it comes to schools in general and summer school. But can you give us a little bit of an update of what's going on in that arena, please?
Sure. As part of my work on the regional advisory team, through Cooperative Educational Services in Trumbull, we are looking at the initial guidance for summer school as a possible template for considerations going into the fall. So that's something they're working on at the state level. I'd say that every area district is really struggling right now to make a decision about extended school year services and summer school, which relates a lot to camps as well. And the challenge really is when you look at the factors that we're supposed to consider to keep people safe, and particularly the kids safe, it's really hard. And I think the big difference between getting the public out to restaurants and to businesses is that you have adults who are making the decisions are in control of what's happening, whereas we are dealing with children and we have to decide and figure out how to best keep them safe. So I think That's really what's been the greatest challenge for us as we've been working through this. But the important thing is, I think a lot of the area, there's great sharing right now among the communities. I will say that we, all of us, are on, you know, weekly phone calls, at least, if not more, with our counterparts in neighboring towns and districts. And we're all trying to think about this more as a regional need and not just a local need, because of the interplay between our districts and our employees. So that's about it for now. I don't have a firm update on the date, on some of those dates.
Oh, thank you. And I know it is a real moving feast. Thank you very much for the update, John. And I see that that Fire Marshal Gibbons has his hand up. Thank you, Jason.
I'm going to give you some information about daycare centers, which is going to be problematic down the road. The state guidance is now requiring daycare centers to segregate classrooms into groups of 10 or less. This includes the environment the kids are in, also the HVAC system that serves the space. I've been in conversations with two of these centers so far, along with Steve Smith. This is going to be very complex because they have to erect barriers in their existing spaces. Some have sprinklers, some don't. The barriers may have to be fire rated or not. The HVAC systems in these basements or converted churches is not designed to separately feed four or five separate classrooms. So just be aware that as we approach September, these facilities are going to be wrestling with state, and their guidance right now has been problematic in the sense that significant investment is going to have to be made by each facility to build this kind of barrier protection.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that update, because you're right. One misunderstanding that the general public has had about daycare centers all along is that they were always allowed to stay open. Many chose voluntarily to close for a variety of very legitimate health and safety reasons. And so the challenge now of reopening is real. And so thank you. We have actually not had a live update on that yet. So thanks, Nate. Sarah, would you, this is just to update us on real estate. This business segment has always obviously been able to be open. And actually many of our real estate agents, I think, are having one of the best springs they've had in a while. But some things that you're doing to kind of support that group at the moment, please.
Sure. So, yes, this sector has always been open and is working. And we've had several conversations through our press releases, really, to inform this sector of best practices on showing homes, guidance towards shorter term rentals, and the advice not to have that the shorter term rentals weren't allowed, just sort of keeping them informed through our press release. And I'm going to be using our list of agents to reach out and find out how things are going. We've heard from several on different occasions. The newest sort of public information that I'm trying to put out to this group revolves around new residents and the reminder that we request a 14-day quarantine of all new residents coming into Westport, or actually into the state. It just appears that message might not really be getting out there. So I want to sort of maintain an open line of communication on that, because there just seems to be several messages that the town tries to get through to that group. So that's sort of where we are at this point.
Great. Thank you. And, you know, the reason I just wanted to do this is, I believe that the last couple of meetings we've been hyper-focused on the three business segments that were opening on the 20th, and appropriately so. But the reality is everybody on this team is doing quite a bit of work on some segments that, like I said, that never closed, like real estate, and Fody updated us last week on his interactions with dealerships. And then, you know, also trying to Jim's point and Jen Fava's point, trying to slightly get ahead of the curve with the second phase opening slotted for the 20th of June. So really everybody, and then the challenges that, that John bears in the in our education system in general is sort of, you know, wrestling with all the time. And so when it comes to, you know, making sure that we can open schools and open them safely and what that would really look like. So everybody on this team is doing quite a bit of work, and just wanted to kind of update each other on that work because we're doing it in these silos, but also update the public on that work too. So thank you for indulging me and make sure we get a round robin report from as many people as possible. I think now we'll move on to agenda item number 3, and I'm going to ask Fodi to lead this conversation. I guess it was maybe the Fodi, you'll have to remind me, but it was probably the day of phase one reopening of businesses that the governor put out an executive order on enforcement. And so we then quickly decided how we were going to operationalize that executive order here in Westport. And so Fodi, along with Nate Gibbons and Mark Cooper, will walk us through this part of the conversation.
Or good morning still, everybody. Jen, if I could just update real quick on the last one on the dealerships, just for the confidence of our people, the public that are listening. In following up with our dealerships and garages, almost all the dealerships, if not all, have set up designated areas when people do purchase a car that they're isolated from the rest of the people going in. What they're doing in the service stations, as your car comes in, they are only one person's handling the car. They're cleaning it before they go in for the protection of their employee, and they're also cleaning it before they give the car back. And some of our smaller garages are even doing work outside, work that can be done outside to protect their employees because it's a much, much smaller places. So we are getting incredible cooperation from our garages and our dealerships, and I certainly want the public to have the confidence going in that we have not seen anything that would steer us away, that if you need to go get your car serviced or to go purchase or lease a car, everybody's taking a lot of precautions for the and for the right reasons, but also to get the customers in there. And I'll leave it at that. As far as the enforcement, yes, things in the beginning, we found that we could have been doing things better in how we were streaming the calls, who was handling the calls. So as it went out on our press release and it also on our website through Sarah, right now all complaints come in, especially after hours. If they can't get a hold of somebody at the health district or through Nate at the fire marshal's office or even through Mary, all the complaints are to come to the police department. We will act as a documenting agency most of the time with a referral either to the fire marshal or Mark Cooper at the health district. Obviously, if it's an immediate safety hazard or if it's a cease and desist because there is no permitting, we will certainly work with the manager or owner to get compliance. That being said, all of our locations upon this happening that we've had to visit, we have gotten compliance without having to take actual enforcement either through summons or arrest. People are either not knowing well enough what the rules are because they constantly keep changing, or they choose to push the envelope a little bit to see if they can do a little more because of desperate times. But that being said, the cooperation upon our arrival or Fire Marshal Gibbons being there has been exceptional. The public is more than willing to work with us as long as we have information for them, what they need to do, how they need to do it, and they're all seeing the efforts are being made, certainly by Matthew, the downtown merchants, and all the different groups. So that is going well. I think one thing that is working very well and the public should know, when Mr. Marpy appointed Nate as the enforcement officer, in a sense, it is a softer approach than a police officer going in there, which at times can be not confrontational, but it's a different way. Nate has a way of visiting our merchants or our customers or the restaurants, and there's always the backup of an officer going with Nate or a follow. But we have certainly, as a community, have not had to reach that level. So things are going very well in that area. At the same time, I know many of us are getting emails about the face coverings, and please understand we're encouraging it on every level. Our enforcement has been through education and giving our public masks, so when they see the officers at the beach or other areas, officers are carrying extra masks. They're not in capacities that we could hand them all to all the entire public. It's not a distribution point, but that's the approach that we're taking. And certainly in the beach areas, we can't encourage people enough. Mr. Marpy has made it very clear that treat it as if you have it or if the person next to you has it. And we don't know who's going back to a person that's at high risk back in their home. So this is a lot of courtesy, respect for the people that we walk around and who we work with. So I can't emphasize that enough on the enforcement, but we will continue to work through education the best we can and not through heavy enforcement. These are difficult times, and we hope we don't have to reach a point of heavy enforcement. I will pass it off to Nate, who's had the direct contact, but if at any point there are any concerns about what's been documented, there is a specific officer assigned at the police department that reports to me and ultimately Mr. Marpio of all complaints that come in and how they were handled. Thank you.
I'll give you a brief summary. We've had 8 referrals for violations. 2 of them resulted in cease and desist orders. 2 of them were unfounded. The balance, a conversation and a little verbal guidance was all that was required. Koskinas and his team, Cooper and his team, we have a good communication network going on right now. We have a process whereby it's referred either to me or to Mark. And we go out, we take care of the site. There is full documentation, should we come to that. But at this point, the public has been cooperative up to a point. We will have challenges at the beach, as we always do. We have challenges with the kids, which we always will have. I think the positive side of this is we are responding very quickly to the complaints and kind of nipping them in the bud before they get out of hand. I think June will be more challenging for us as the weather gets better. But I appreciate the communication with the police department and the health department. As the public refers their complaints, they should understand that point source complaints, I saw 3 teenagers without masks at X location. Please understand that by the time I get the message and drive down there, the kids are usually gone. So the best I can do is advise that occupancy that served them or whatever to provide them with some guidance. And like the chief says, I got masks in my car. I hand them out if I feel it's appropriate.
Thank you, Nate. And Mark, is there anything you wanted to mention as part of the team here? Or are you think Fire Marshal Gibbons and Chief Koskinas covered it?
No, I think it's going well. We have not had complaints rise to the level where, if you look at what my requirements are from the state in terms of enforcement, I basically issue orders. We're taking the same initial approach, of course, one of education. And so far, Nate's been on the front line, so we really haven't had to respond out in the, out at specific sites. We're starting our compliance checks now, so I haven't got reports back from my restaurant staffs that are out there doing those yet. But no, everything seems to be going well. We have not had complaints come to us that rise to the level that we really need to get too excited about or think about issuing orders.
Well, I want to say thank you to, all 3 of you. This is an important piece of reopening, is to make sure we have a local approach to compliance and enforcement, and one that reflects how we usually interact with our businesses and our residents here in Westport. And I just can't thank the 3 of you from the work being on this to continue to instill confidence in the public that we are operating in a safe and healthy way, and wanting to reopen in a safe and healthy way. And I just want to say thank you also to our business owners who I think are taking this very, very seriously as well. And, we will keep the public updated on these efforts. And like I said, we want everybody to know we're taking it seriously. But also definitely this is a local initiative, a local endeavor that we are very lucky to have Mark Cooper and Nate Gibbons and Cody Koskinas guiding us through this process. So thank you. Jim, is there anything you want to say on this?
Sorry. You said it all, frankly, but I'll say something anyway. We are meeting regularly as an enforcement team, and we have, in fact, in the middle of all this, we're setting up a time next week where we'll, as the enforcement team, will make sure that we're digging down into some of the details that have been alluded to in this discussion. So we continue to stay on top of it, independent of this particular body.
All right, and so thank you for that. And our last agenda item was really to just kind of share some thoughts around best practices and the things that are going on that are really, in my mind, the silver linings of what's happening in our community among our business owners as they are working hard together to figure out how to open safely and figure out how to keep their employees and their clients and themselves safe. But I think we've covered a lot of that. But I do, one thing I do want to say, and I want to make a public thank you, and we'll probably do it as well in a press release this week. You know, prior to setting up this reopen Westport advisory team, the town ran a program called Local Business Advisor Program. And through that program, we worked with Social Venture Partners, which is a local nonprofit. Actually, they're a statewide nonprofit. They're based in Westport. And many of their partners and volunteers are actually Westporters. Many of them are either retired or current business executives with a lot of different business skill sets. And through this program, we worked with over about 30 local businesses through that sort of very awkward stage where they were trying to figure out, do I close totally? Do I not? You know, how do I think about my cash flow over the next couple months? Do I lay off all my employees? Do I furlough my employees? Do I apply for a PPP loan? Do I not? How do I move my business online? I'm bricks and mortar. I'm a high touch, customer focused business. Now I have to do everything online. How do I do that? So all of those really difficult decisions that a lot of our local business owners were making in a very critical time, we were, like I said, able to advise for free with the expertise and help of Social Venture Partners, about 30 local businesses. So, that's a real silver lining, and those are Westporters coming out to help Westport business owners. And I just want to say a very public thank you to Social Venture Partners and all of the volunteers that helped during that time. It was pretty crazy. A lot of different conversations. Many of them are still actively working with the local business owner now, but obviously in a very different capacity. But we've kind of wound down the program because now people are, our business owners are focused on something slightly different. But again, I just want to say a very public thank you to that group. And I think that is another example of how, Randy's talked about it, Fody's talked about it, Matthew's talked about it. We've all talked about how our local business owners are really, Brian's talked about it, how our local business owners are really coming together as a community. Well, Westport is as well in helping and supporting these local businesses. So these are just the silver linings I think we need to be talking about. I think we need to be talking about, how much all of us as community members are doing for each other through this time. And not just at the family level and not just at the friendship level, but really at this kind of level where we're really trying to help reopen the economy. With that, does anybody else have anything they particularly want to share right now that's a great example of how our business owners have been working together and sharing best practices for the betterment of the whole community? You feel like you've already shared that. Okay. All right. Great. So on that positive note, I'd like to kind of adjourn this meeting, and I think we'll plan on a meeting maybe a week from today, because I think that Mark is going to be super busy between now and Monday and those couple of days afterwards. So I think we'll have some very interesting updates from him in that segment of the hair salons and barbershops. And I know a number of us have a number of Zoom calls with our business segments that we're supporting, so there'll be some things to actually update on. probably about a week from today. And I'll, again, we're trying to keep these to an hour, so I'm looking at my watch and I know I've run out of time. Okay, with that, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thank you for being with us, Nate, today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.